About 12 years ago, Christine made some recordings with retired Burnley painter and decorator Mick Fitzpatrick about some of the jobs he'd been on in the Burnley area, and we put these on the Talking newspaper back in 2008. About 3 years ago, Christine met up with Mick again and made some more recordings with him. As it happens, we never actually got round to using them. Until now.
Hello, it's Christine. I'm delighted, absolutely thrilled to bits to tell you that we've managed to get Mick Fitzpatrick back for yet more episodes of 40 years behind the brush.
Well, the year was 1952. I just left school. We went round to say goodbye to all the teachers and they all said, what do you want to be? I said, I'm going to be an apprentice painter and decorator. And so I got a job at Lord & Sons, one of the biggest decorators, industrial and houses and anything. Bridges, fire stations, police stations, they did everything. And I think they're about 70 odd painters. Anyway, I got turned up that morning, white boiler suit, brill cream hair, when I had hair then, and went in. There were three of us, three lads. We were all little, frightened to death. We were. And he said, now then, have you got your dinners with you? I said, yes, yes, right. Have you got something for a drink? Yes, yes, right. Well, you're going so-and-so, Ted. Malcolm, you're going so-and-so. Michael, you're going with Waldo, my son. He'll take you in the car to Sabden, to like a mansion house, he said. And he said, we won't take you in on your bike. You can't go on your bike, he said, because we're going to show you. And my son will take you there. Now, his son was, oh, we're loving this, because there was a river there and he could fish on it for nothing. It belonged to the house. So he took me there and he said, now then, son, come here. He said, I'll introduce you to the painters. So they all come, we shook hands. And then off he went to fish for an hour. Anyway, we're there and they find me all the little bits of jobs to do. Strip this little bit of paper off. Now, when he got to break down, he said, don't get up quick. You sit there, Michael, it's all right. You know, I thought, yeah, they're very good to me. Dinner time come, half an hour dinner they had. They said, it's all right, Michael, you sit there, you know. I thought, well, what's going on here? So, and it got to tea time, and they said, we better not go, because your dad will play out, won't he? And I thought, my dad, what are you talking about? And I got in the car, he run me all the way on, and he said, how's your day gone? I said, all right. I said, but they keep saying something about my dad, you know. And I thought, I didn't know they knew my dad. And I turned up the day after, he picked me up at our house, run me to Sabden, and then it got to break time, and they said, oh, hey, we've had 15 minutes, you'll be telling your dad, won't you, you know. I said, well, I won't see my dad till tea time. He said, he's down there fishing, isn't he? They thought, the boss's son, our son. So after that, like, it was sat down for 20 minutes and stuff. Anyway, from there, we went to a church. He said, I'm going to show you everything. And we're outside, and I'm painting bottom of pipes. And they put the ladder up, but it wouldn't reach the drain pipes at the top. So they said, right, come with me, Michael, and two lads took me up. And they tied a rope round my waist. And it's about 40 foot up. And they said, get this tin of paint and a brush. He said, we're going to lower you down with this rope. To health and safety was unheard of. Lowered me down while I painted this and pulled it up, you know. All these pipes at the top, all these drain pipes, because it wouldn't reach.
So you just got a rope?
Tied round my waist, yeah.
And you were working? Just legs dangling free?
Like one is, what do you call it, abseiling sort of thing, you know.
Oh, but what would have happened if you'd have tippily turned, you know, sort of gone...
Yeah, but he never said anything then. He didn't say anything back to the mate, the blokes, because you thought, well, this is what happens. So from there, we're working outside. And next job, we went to Lucas's. And on the roof's a flagpole. So we gets up on the top, and this painter says to me, now then, Mickey, said, shinny up this flagpole, which we 40 foot up then on top of this place. Oh, and anyway, I tried shinning up. I couldn't climb up it at all. I kept slipping back down. Oh, you're bloody useless, you, he says. Come on. So we unscrewed it all, lowered it down to ground on a rope, went down all the way to the bottom. Right, you pick one end up, I'll pick the other up. We picked it up, it broke in half. It was as rotten as anything. So I said, it's a good job I were a dozy beggar, weren't it? Else I wouldn't be here now to say it. I don't know, I'd head for height, so they're always shoving me somewhere. They'd take windows out, push a plank outside, and a chap sat inside the room while I climbed out onto the 30, 40 foot up to paint the window, get back in, put the glass back in. And that were health and safety.
Mick, I don't know how you're living. I really do not know how you are still here with us.
Oh. And when I got ready to have a bath at night, all my ribs were black and blue with these ropes and stuff they tied on.
I bet they weren't proper ropes as well. I bet they were just were they just ordinary hemp ropes?
Yeah, yeah. And then we were to be shown everything we did with painting and decorating. And they said, we're going to take you down to this canteen, all the wooden canteen for Sir John Gray's mill. And he said, it's all wood, it's all to burn off, or burn all the old paint off. So they showed us how to use a blow lamp. He said, do you think you can do it now? We said, yes. So they took us down to this factory. And they're all knot holes in it. So it starts burning off. I'm at one end and this little Ted, he's only about 4 foot, he's down the other end. He comes running up, he says, it's on fire. So it had gone through this knot hole and it were burning inside. So I got my bicycle pump, I remember back then, got some water, pumped it in these holes. Of course, in the meantime, the fire brigade's been called and the fire brigade come, you know. I said, I think we've done it. Anyway, they looked round, they said, you've done very well there. I went, foreman come, he said, you can't be trusted without you, do we? He said, you're bloody useless. I thought, dearie me, I've put the fire out and stuff. You know.
So, I mean, presence of mind to think of using a bicycle pump. I think that's really... Yeah.
And some of the painters, you know, they're always taking Mickey out at young ones and asking you to do silly things, joking, and did nail your coat at wall and stuff
like that. Are these like initiation ceremonies?
Yeah.
Head down the toilet and stuff
they
like
put,
that.
You used to have to change your shoes, you know, when you got there. Yeah? And you fill your shoes up with wallpaper paste and stuff like that.
Oh.
Anyway, one day I was working at Lucas's again, and they said, look what we found, Mick, it's a gas mask. They said, just try it on. So I put it on. I sneezed. When I took it off, they filled it full of soot.
Oh.
I looked like Al Jolson in Mammy, like, you know. So I thought, I'll get you back, you lot. Yeah, anyway, we went working at Blackburn, and it was a dentist who died, and we were going to do all the house up. And outside was a big shed where he made all the false teeth. So, of course, I get to do the shed outside, and I got the key. And there's all these false teeth on the shelves. So I thought, right, I put them all in my apron at front. And before they went home, I got all their lunch boxes, and I put false teeth in all. There were six painters there, I put them all in the boxes. And then the morning after, we got to work. This chap says, I don't know who the hell did that. He said, my wife screams, you open the lunchbox and there's all these false teeth. And they all said, yeah. And I said, there was some in mine as well, you know, being innocent like. And they said, well, who's done that? I said, well, a lot of folk gardeners were about and stuff. It might have been them, you know. But, you know, I thought, there you are, serves you right, you know. So, yeah.
I think that's got to be the most original practical joke that I've heard.
And I played football then, so I took some of these false teeth and I thought, I'll take them uptown really to the playing fields and I'll put them all in the dressing room with a set of false teeth. And I thought, on the headlines of the paper, it'll say, forgetful footballers, leave the false teeth, you know. Anyway, there's nothing mentioned and I knew the groundsman and I'm waiting for him to say about these false teeth and nothing happened. And years later on, he was seriously ill and he was in hospital and went to see him. He said, do you know, he said, I'll tell you the story about these false teeth. He said, there were false teeth in every room. He said, we never found out who it were. And I thought, I wonder if he thinks it's me, like.
Did he find out? Did he
no,
tell
I never found out. I didn't tell him.
You
no,
didn't tell
I
him? Kept but it listeners, you've heard it here. So if you know of a man who was trying to find out who'd put the false teeth in every dressing room at Burnley, at Townley Park, it was Mick.
And then one day, we're working at this house and the phone went and our former painter says, Mick, you and Ted have to go into the shop, Brennan Street it were in Burnley, and if there were big jobs, they hired a big wagon and they put all the scaffolding, the trestles, planks and stuff, and that went in it. But the little jobs, they had a hand cart. He says, take the hand cart and there's a house at the top of Manchester Road to go and get all this paint sheets.
Manchester Road's a steep
in Burnley,
hill.
A steep hill. It was right over the summit into Clyde Bridge.
Yeah.
Must have been about 4 miles from the shop up to top.
Yeah, straight vertically upwards almost, isn't
so
it?
So we started pushing this handcart, me and Ted. And we all, far through was a stamp, you know, me and him, no muscles on us. And it was heavy with nothing on it. So we got up to top of Manchester Road and we went through, we sweat. we hadn't brought us dinner with an out to drink or out, and this, we got into the garage, put all the stuff on this hand cart, and it was heavy as anything. We're going down Manchester Road, and we couldn't hold it. So we swings it across onto pavements and into the wall to stop it, because it's running away with us. Well, some of the paint come off onto flags. Luckily, there were a bottle of Terps there, so we poured Terps on, got a dust sheet, wiped it all up. By the time we got back to the shop, there were lumps of wood knocked off this handcart. And it's about 3 o'clock. Well, we finished just after 4 o'clock. We had no dinner, nothing like that. So we said, this Teddy, we were a nasty fella, warehouse chap. I said, we'll hide it right back at the shed, this handcart. Anyway, we stood there, we're waiting for time to go home, and we heard this, what the bleep, 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 who's what, all this bloody, oh, bleep, bleep. So we jumped on his bikes, me and Ted, and we shot off home. And I said, we'll face the music tomorrow. Anyway, went back to his own jobs, and it was about a fortnight before we saw him. He said, what were going on? And he said, there should have been a dozen dust sheets, he said, there were only one. I said, oh, no. I said, we had a bit of an accident. I said, it got too heavy for us, like, you know, so. When you got to 21, you're supposed to move on. You're a journeyman then, you've come out of your time. We've been to night school 3 nights a week for 6 years and a one day release. When you've got all the exams, you've got sitting guilds. I got sitting guilds set in class, you know. So you were like top of your trade. Which you learn paper hanging, graining, marbling, etc. Which marbling now and graining, it's unheard of. Nobody knows how to do it, you know. Mm. So if there's like specialist jobs, they call you in. So anyway, from there, I finished at Lord and Sons. I went to Ernest Irving's for a couple of years. And then my father-in-law was a councillor, and he was chairman of the works committee for Burnley. And he said, there's some jobs going at corporation. He said, superannuated. He said, it's a really good job to get on. He said, you'll never be out of work. He said, because they did everything. Barges, you know, we had to hire a barge. First job I went on, and you're on canal painting a bridge on canal, you know.
From a barge?
From a barge.
Well, the barge rocks.
Yeah, so we had to put trestles on this and paint underneath. And every time a barge come, we had to get down, move the barge to the side. It was taking ages, didn't it? We're painting all these. Anyway, it started snowing one day underneath this bridge. So we could get down in the barge, you know, the type of brew. And this Brian, he says, are you going to brew up? I said, no, we're playing cards, etc., you know, because it was too bad to work under the bridge, it was sweeping under. So we had a plank going on to the banking. Anyway, we hear this splash, and this is Brian who's charged, and he's fallen in. Wind had caught him, and he's fallen in.
But if nobody
got up to see what we're doing. I said, it sounds like he's fallen in. They said, never mind, get these cards going. So.
But if it's snowing, he'd be dying of hypothermia.
It comes in and he's dripping, you know, so I said, well, you better go home, like, you know. And the boss come and he said, what's the man doing brewing up? And he said, we've got an apprentice here, you know, young bloke, he said. Anyway, that's how it were then.
Well, we're going to break into Christine's interview at that point, and we'll hear some more from Mick Fitzpatrick next month.